is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Hungary, part of the European Union, part of the conversation about Ukraine, because a man by the name of Viktor Orban has led Hungary for decades, from 98 to 2002 and from 2010 to the present. He's a vivid character. I first meet him in a book about 1989, the year the Ceausescus fell, and the Hungarian people rose up and took control of their own fate. At that point, he was 26 years old, a fiery speaker, I'm told, in a new book, The Picnic, and a convincing rhetorician for a large crowd, long hair, very handsome, and vigorous. Now we are 25 years later, and I welcome George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I heartily recommend, observing Viktor Orban now facing those same crowds, but this time they're hostile. George, a very good evening to you. You know Hungary very well. You know it by tradition. You know it by history. Is Viktor Orban a recognizable Hungarian hero become goat? Good evening to you.
Well, he was certainly deeply admired by the Hungarians for a very long time. He's elected. He was elected legitimately. He has been accused of economic crimes, if you will, and they may have happened. But this is a man who really captured Hungary's heart. He did it because of two things. He opposed immigration into Hungary, and he opposed the what they call the these days the woke syndrome. Hungary is a conservative country. It has conservative values. It feels surrounded by European states, NATO, and so on, that don't have its interests or values at heart. And he was the man who stood up to them. And that's what they liked about him. He stood up for Hungary, they thought. And the majority supported him.
It's in a very busy neighborhood, Germany and all of the Western Balkans. But the big player right now is Russia. I mentioned when he was 26 speaking against the Russian boot, Ceausescu was the operator. His spectacularly ugly death made a chapter change in Hungary. And Orban has been part of that chapter change. Has he been a success? Is that the memory of him?
The view of him, it's not a memory yet, up until recently, was that he might cut corners and so on, but he has stood up to the European Union, he has stood up to NATO, and he went his own way with the Ukrainian war. He went ahead and stood with Putin because, one, he didn't particularly care for the Ukrainians. Two, a lot of Ukraine used to be Hungarian, which was lost in the Trianon Pact many, many years ago. And he had a dream of wanting to recover it. So he felt that the Russians would sweep over Ukraine anyway. And he felt that they would agree to turning over Ukrainian parts to Hungary. And so he broke with NATO. He broke with the United States. He broke with a lot of people to pursue this Hungarian interest. The one thing to remember, he's a nationalist. Not a nationalist in the vulgar sense. He saw himself as speaking for the Hungarian soul. And for a very long time, the public accepted that. And that's changing. But for a long time, it was there.
Prosperity, George. Has it been part of his portfolio that he's cared about the economy and pushed issues that are liberalizing?
He has been very interested in the economy. And this is where he had, I think, if he falls, which he certainly hasn't yet, his downfall. In Hungary, the process of business is complex, as they say. These people give money to these people give money. This is a Eastern European country. And the accusation against him has been that he participated in essentially illegal of monetary actions. Now, if that's true, that's what these demonstrations are going on about. But at the same time, this is the way Hungary wanted things done. And it was expected that it was being done. So there's a problem in Europe, which is the tradition of the countries are different than the moral values of the organization. And that was another one of his things. He wanted to be Hungary and not somebody else.
We come now to his connection to the United States. There was a moment 2 or 3 years ago, I remember hearing invitations to a lot of conservatives in the United States. Party didn't matter so much as, you know, maybe celebrating William F. Buckley, that kind of conservatives. And there were gatherings in Budapest of Americans traveling there often. It's probably still happening. What was Orban's thinking about reaching out to American conservatives?
Well, he saw himself, hopefully as a leader, but certainly as part of a global conservative movement. By conservative movement, it doesn't mean libertarian. It meant a conservative movement that valued traditional values, and that would take place. And that is this movement in the United States. Trump is part of it. And so he looked at the people around the globe, including Putin, who seemed to argue in favor of retention of liberal values, of conservative values, and made friends with them. And he has many friends in the United States.
Is Hungary at odds with its neighborhood? I can't tell because it's changed so often and the boundaries keep moving around and there's lots of noise out of the Western Balkans. Is Hungary considered a good neighbor? I know the contrariness in the EU, but then who isn't contrary in the EU? I know the contrariness in NATO. Eventually, of course, Orban got what he wanted and NATO got Sweden. But in his immediate neighborhood, Austria, Germany, is he popular or is he regarded as a nudge?
He's regarded as Hungarian. In this region that Hungary and Poland were never very comfortable with each other, but would collaborate, and they did collaborate with him sometimes. Romania always hated him because Hungary had this region taken away from it after the First World War and wanted it back. And so each country had a different one. This was not a place of mass organizations. This was a place of individual countries, individual leaders, individual relations. And in general, he was disliked and distrusted. But then in this region, everybody is disliked and distrusted.
Therefore, he's conventional wisdom in the area, a strong-minded. Now, about Moscow. You mentioned earlier about his relationship with Putin, which is complicated by history, of course. Hungary was under the persuasion of the Soviets at one time. Is that a working relationship? Is that revisionism on Orban's part? And how do the Russians regard Orban when he's in Moscow?
Well, I think Putin was happy to see Orban go to Moscow and talk to him. It indicated a split in the West. It also gave a signal to the West that it's legitimate to talk to him. Orban went there, but he did not want to participate in the war. He did not want to fight in the Ukraine. He wanted others to do it. He didn't even want to have NATO, which he was a member of, send weapons across his border. So he wanted to not to be in the war. He wanted to have a decent relationship with Putin, whom he thought shared Putin's value, the values that he had. And this was what he was trying to do.
Was he successful? Because he certainly was in the news a great deal during the period, I would say, from the first year of the war, now we're at the end of the second. He's been in the news a lot. Was that on purpose? Did that give him power at home?
I think it showed at home the idea that he was an international spokesman. I didn't help him with Putin at all. He was irrelevant to the fighting. By not joining the fighting, he cost very little. They didn't care about it. So the problem was, and I think the Hungarians realized this, the public, to a great extent, the things that he was doing didn't matter. They were not going to shape European history. So I would say that in the first instance, he reached out to the Russians and really caught the American eye angrily. But in the long run, it was simply he had no weight. The Hungarians didn't carry the weight to change things.
He's 60 years old. By our standards, that's a young man, George. These protests against him, he could go away and come back again at 60. He was born in 1963. Is there a plan B for him? The demos in the square in Budapest are alarming.
Well, they are alarming. They're very strange, but they haven't succeeded yet. They haven't succeeded. For one thing, it's not clear what the method is for replacing him if they wanted to. Also, it's a lot of people, but it's not the majority of people in Hungary by any means. And a lot of people still value him and like him. The demonstrations are about fraud, that there was money being flowing around the country to friends of Orbán, possibly. But Hungary also is a country that is not surprised by such things. So there was one group that rose up against him, large numbers, 10,000, but a fraction of the Hungarians, right? And they haven't risen yet. So it's far from clear that his governance is over.
I don't know that he's over. I'm just wondering if there's a plan B that you can discern to quiet down, to satisfy, to answer his critics until the election time.
I think his plan is to remain in office, allow the demonstrations to go forward, not under any circumstances to open fire or anything like that, and let them get bored. So nothing is more temporary than a long, ineffective campaign in the streets. So the first round was certainly striking, but can it maintain itself and can it become strong enough to force him out of power?
George Friedman is the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I heartily recommend. Viktor Orbán, long in office in Hungary, a very vigorous president. We're going to the moon. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patterson.